This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another crowdfunded episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the kick-started Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing today?
Wouldn't it be like a Patreon if it was...
possibly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing just fine. We are here at the shop to do a quick podcast in the afternoon while D&D for Dogs takes place in the event center just outside the door there. Got a pretty good crowd out there of people playing some Dungeons & Dragons in the Eberron campaign setting. And raising money for Love of Dog Rescue, which is really cool. So if anybody is watching this live and you missed out on this, there's still time to sign up, and you can even just come down to the store and play.
Yeah, the event went really well this year. The new website and your work on it really helped, because the first year we had so much of an organizational nightmare, and this year just seemed like it just, you know, there was no problems at all. We didn't get quite as much attendance as we did the first time. I'm going to suspect that you know, this last weekend of January is why, you know. And we picked this spot because we wanted to stay away from everything else that goes on in Fargo Moorhead, and so we thought this was kind of a nice weekend. I think it does fill that. The one thing that we noticed is the last one in 2018, because we didn't do one in 2019, yeah, was in September, and we got a lot of out-of-town travel, and so, obviously, no one's going to, like, prepay a session ever in January, because they're going to have no idea if it's either going to be able to travel. So we have new dates picked out moving forward. We're going to have a permanent weekend essentially picked out for it. We'll be announcing soon. So
nice.
But yeah, like, we've even still, even with our pre-orders right now, if you just take the attendance that is currently accounted for, we have over $1,100 raised. You know, and that's with a small turnout. So we're, you know, very happy already, and that doesn't count mason jars, or stopping by and picking up their merchandise, or seeing their puppies, or, you know, any of that stuff. So it's, yeah, it's definitely cool. So.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic event, and glad that it's off to a rocking start. But we're not here to talk about Dungeons and Dragons or dogs today. We're here to talk about something else entirely. We're here to talk about some board game related news, and some things that are happening within Kickstarter that the store is getting involved in. And so we've discussed Kickstarter a few times on the podcast before. It's probably nothing new, and certainly if you're into the modern hobby board gaming arena, you're familiar with Kickstarter and all that comes with it. You probably had discussions yourself on the subject. So we're not going to get too deep into the philosophy or, you know, anything about that behind Kickstarter and how it affects the local stores and things like that. We're just here to talk about some Kickstarters that we're actually taking part in, that we're really excited about, and that we want to get you guys excited about.
Well, here's the bottom line. Yeah. It's very simple. I can't, the sun's going to rise and set in the morning, you know, and Kickstarter is going to be a thing, right? So, so the question is, what do you do about it? How do you bring to your customers the best experience that you can, given the new marketplace? And I definitely have, as we have done a little bit here, I'm starting to formulate my thoughts about that and the state of, like, distribution and so on and so forth. And the only thing I want to say on a business level is, if you look at what's going on with Fantasy Flight Games right now, make no mistake, even the people who are trying to stay in the original lane, you know, the traditional distribution model, and there's other reasons for the Fantasy Flight problems, they're being heavily affected by Kickstarter. You know, Asmodee, Fantasy Flight, you know, it's not just on the store level. It is a wholesale change to how this industry does business. You know, and thanks to you pushing on it, John Leighton pushing on it, we're basically here today talking about, you know, solutions.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the really great thing, is there are lots of people who are doing Kickstarter now who know and love and appreciate their local game stores.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just a pre-order system for them. This is a chance for them to realize their dream, which is not just creating and producing and distributing a board game. It's seeing it on the shelf in one of their stores, because that's the conversation, you know, you always used to have with your friends. It's just like, ah, could you imagine like seeing your own game on the shelf there someday? And so there are some Kickstarters and people and even companies who create Kickstarters now who are really understanding the strain that puts on the local store and the importance of the local game store, and they're doing something about it, and they're offering retailer pledge levels that make sense. Like, there are some of them where it's just like, hey, you get four copies of the game at the same price that it would be if you bought them singly. You know, it's like,
yep,
that those don't make sense, because why would anybody then go through you, the store, to purchase their Kickstarter? And are you going to be able to take the risk on yourself to just go ahead and buy several copies of the game and hope that people are into it when it comes out?
Well, it feels like, I mean, yeah, like my thought is that it feels like the industry obviously is slow to shift. And so you have people who saw what Kickstarter was. You have people who can put games on the market who would never have gotten their game picked up before they had to go to a publisher to try to convince them to print their game. And now they can do it on their own. It just goes to what you're saying. But not only that, then, we as a store, we need to rethink, like, we can't just get up in the morning, go to the Alliance website, see what games are available, and order them. Like, those days
right.
are gone. And so, but yeah, you know, if people, and we have a really friendly one that we'll talk about here today, too. You know, if people are going to do the things like the Return to Dark Tower guys are doing, they're going to get my business, and they're going to allow me to once again be on the front lines of selling the best games that people want, which I haven't been able to do for almost 2 years now. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and let's dive right in with Return to Dark Tower.
Yeah.
So this is probably, I mean, it's only January, and this is very likely going to be one of the biggest Kickstarters, board game Kickstarters of the year. In just a matter of a couple of days, they raised over $2 million. To bring this project to life. And I'd like to take just a short moment to point out the fact that last year when we were talking about what was coming up in 2019, you know, we did our podcast, and I said, hey, Restoration Games is bringing out a redo of Fireball Island. When Kickstarter was very successful, this is something we need to watch. We need to watch this company. Everyone in the room looked at me like, what are you talking about? Fireball Island? What are you... I just got this general air of like, I don't know, you're dumb, whatever. Which now we've got Return to Dark Tower, and it's huge. These guys, Restoration Games, this is something, they've been around for a little while, but it's only going to blow up from here. So what Restoration Games does, or what they've been doing, is they've been taking old properties, board games that people loved as children, you know, and taking them, updating them, giving them better components, more comprehensive rules, or rules that make more sense, more balanced gameplay, and they're re-releasing them in new editions. So, like I said, Fireball Island came out last year. That was a silly little game where you're moving along, and basically the main selling point of the game is you drop these marbles into the volcano guy up at the top, and then it drops out and goes randomly along various paths, and it can knock your guys off the board. So they updated that and released it. Now we've got Return to Dark Tower, which is kind of a sequel, they put it in quotation marks, to the Dark Tower board game that came out in 1981. And this was a board game. The big thing with this is it featured a big electronic tower in the middle of the game board that affected the gameplay. And so now we've got Return to Dark Tower. This, I mean, right up top with the designers, it's got Rob Davio. I apologize, I never know how to pronounce people's names. It's always, but the guy who is behind Legacy Games, who created like Risk Legacy and of course Pandemic Legacy, Seafall,
So he's got very few credentials.
Yeah, someone you've probably never heard of.
And no track record for success.
And Isaac Childress, who we had the fortune of interviewing on our podcast because he is the gentleman responsible for Gloomhaven, which we'll be
even
talking
I know
about
that
some
guy.
More later.
I don't know anybody and I know that guy.
Right? So the pedigree of designers already on this game, and there are other people who have contributed to the design as well, because there's so much involved with the tower. It now runs off an app. There's so many variations on it, and so it's got this great nostalgic factor, the nostalgia factor for people who play the game. I was not familiar with the game. I think I knew of it when I was a kid, but that's one I'm sure it never would have passed the test to get into my house. It's a little too like wizardy. My parents were really protective back then. It's got the nostalgia factor, and then it's got, I mean, just this amazing pedigree of designer behind it. It's two of the people who are responsible for the current, some current trends in board gaming. You know, legacy games are a thing now because of Rob, and certainly Gloomhaven is a standout, remarkable game that you know, people are still playing and talking about, even though it came out several years ago. And so you've got these people behind it, a whole other team of people, you know, programming the tower and doing all these things. So it's huge. And it started off, like I said, just within the matter of a few days. It hit $2 million in pledges. And so we had some people ask us about it. We were actually had just started talking about it because it had just come out, and Rich and I were tossing some messages back and forth, and we had some of our loyal board game community commenting on our Facebook Paradox Gaming page, asking us if we were aware of it and knew anything about it. And basically the thing was like, yes, we know, we're working it out, we'll have details soon. And so here, I think we can give some of those details right now. Actually,
yeah,
I'm gonna pull up the
while you're doing that page. The only thing that they ask is we will not be able to offer it online until a certain point in the process, so we will be able to offer it in store and promote that we're offering it in store, but there won't just be a place to just get it from the website, at least until later in the process.
Yeah, exactly, and that is, I think, extremely fair.
Yeah, I'm totally, you know, considering the fact that everything on their retailer agreement is about the most friendly Kickstarter thing I've ever seen, I have no problem with that limitation at all. So.
Yeah, and it is just until the pledge manager for the Kickstarter has closed. So basically, once they've stopped taking pledges, and which I can't remember, I think there's like 10 days left of the Kickstarter itself. And then usually about a month after that, I think they said they were planning on closing the pledge manager. What that allows people to do is to change their pledge if they want to add things to it, so they can just make sure that they get in on it and then have time to update and get everything they need. So by around the beginning of March, if we have any copies that are unspoken for, we can put those onto our website as pre-orders. But for right now, what Paradox is offering, and this, again, stop in at the store, call in, and place your order. If people are confused right at the moment, I don't know if, Rich, you've got everything in the system, the point-of-sale system and stuff quite yet.
We can actually do that today, because I'll give everything to Hawk and we'll create it. So.
All right, so we'll get it in the system today, so by tomorrow at the latest, you can call or stop in and make your pre-orders for Return to Dark Tower. So basically what we're looking at here, the base Kickstarter pledge, if you were to go and pledge for it yourself, is $125. And that's a copy of the base game, shipping not included. I think you'd have to pay another $10 or $15 in shipping on top of that. That still comes in at under the MSRP, which is going to be $150. But with what they're offering to the local stores, here's what Paradox can do. We can get you a copy of the base game for $119.99. So if you pre-order through us, $120. Already saving there, don't have to pay shipping.
And you know what? You don't have to wait for the giant thing to be delivered to your house.
Right.
We're going to be open. It's going to get delivered here, and you're going to save a tiny bit, in the process too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And with a lot of what's going on these days with package thieves and things like that, I mean, that's no small thing to offer someone, is that peace of mind that your copy will come to the store, we'll call you and say, hey, it's in, come and pick it up. And then whenever you're ready, you can come and get it. You don't have to worry about being there or, someone snatching it before you can get to it.
Yeah, and we've started adding some addendums too. Like, we aren't going to activate shipping yet on our website, but we have started adding notes like, if you would like this item shipped, just contact us to arrange that. We don't have a preferred shipping method attached to the website yet. The primary reason is, as a new guy, we can't get any deals on shipping. And so, yeah, I could attach shipping to it, but you'll never be happy with what you see on the surface. So now there still will be circumstances where people are happy to pay that and have it shipped, but it just doesn't make a ton of sense as a, flat out as an option. So, but anyway.
Well, and that's the thing, depending on the cost there, it still could very likely cost you less to buy it from us and have it shipped than going straight through the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yes, that is an option. People can certainly, when you make your pre-order, let us know if you're interested in that. We'll figure out the details. But
And of note, we actually, on a recent Kickstarter and on another one, we have shipped to, we're going to be shipping one of our current ones to a woman in Atlanta. We have shipped to New York State. We have shipped to Wisconsin. We had a guy in Florida who wanted more copies of the Turmoil,
yeah.
But we didn't have enough copies, or we would have shipped to him as well. It's easy enough to do, is the point. And it is happening already. So
yeah, and that's one thing we're finding, especially is after Kickstarters finish and when they get close to releasing, there are people who suddenly get lack of buying remorse, or whatever the buyer's remorse is for people who didn't actually get in on it. And they'll find it on the website and contact us, and that's where these are going out to, which is kind of interesting.
One of my really bad sales tactics I was used to use when I worked at the counter all the time is I would say things to people like, you can only regret not buying this, because when you get home, you won't have it, and you'll regret it. So if you have it at home, you can't regret it because you have it, but you can only regret it if you don't have it. So that ties into what you're saying. So,
yes, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense, but it was a good, confusing.
Whatever works.
Yeah. I don't know that it ever worked, but yeah. People probably looked at that. That guy's dumb. I'm not shopping there anymore, But.
All right. So yeah, again, Return to Dark Tower base game, $119.99. There is an Alliances expansion. Or the expansion is named Alliances. Probably easier to understand if I say it that way. We can offer it up for $27.50. I think it's a bit more. So with some of these add-ons, the cost difference is a little bit less because they cost less in general. But we can still offer a little bit on some of these. So there's an expansion.
Well, yeah, and then the issue is we weren't really clear on what they're going to charge us for shipping on anything other than the main games, so I was a little conservative with a couple of my offers on these. There you go.
Because, yeah, I believe the idea is that there is no cost for shipping on the add-ons. So okay. If, like, someone is buying the game and they add this stuff on, it's negligible enough that they don't add any extra shipping.
Sure, okay.
I'm assuming that's the same for stores, just because we're getting, more of them, potentially. But yeah, so there's that. There's a set of miniatures called Dark Hordes for all the enemies. So instead of having tokens or other standees, or I can't remember exactly what they have, but you can get actual miniatures, and that's $59.99 for that. And then there's an upgrade to the tokens that they call coffers, the coffers upgrade, and that's $24.99. So if you get the Dark Tower base game, and it does, of course, include all the unlocked stretch goals, because whatever they unlock in the campaign is what we're buying, what we get. And then there are all those other add-ons that you can add as well. So you're not missing out on anything by going through Paradox. If and especially if you're picking up locally, you can potentially save yourself a little bit of money on what is a fairly pricey game, but kind of a cool and unique thing to have on your game shelf. So that's basically what we've got for Return to Dark Tower. If you're interested, there is a blog on the website right now that goes through all of those details, lists all of the prices, steps to take to, you know, gives the phone number to call in. And it also, we did put a link to the Kickstarter page there so you can get all of the details. Look it up. There's gameplay videos, there's designer information and stuff like that. So, so check that out. Again, that Kickstarter has definitely fully funded, so there's no risk there in terms of pre-ordering and then hoping that it reaches its goal. It's already got that. The estimated delivery date of the final product is February 2021. So, again, with Kickstarter, you're buying in advance. So expect to wait a good year before you get the product. But, again, if you don't do it now, you're going to miss out on a bunch of extras that might not be available at retail and or saving yourself some money off of MSRP.
Right. And the way we do things on the website right now is if someone were to you buy this today, no, we can't open to the website till March, I get that, but like as an example, you know, if you were to buy this today, you would be using PayPal to do it. We simply leave that money in PayPal until we know that the transaction's done. So, you know, a year, you know, over the next year, you know, if you got brain cancer and had to cancel your order, I mean, it's the refund. The refund is
dark right there.
Yeah, I know. So the refund system that we have is really easy because we haven't even taken your money out of PayPal until we know you have the game at the end. So
yeah, it's a good system that's worked well, and so yeah, there are very few risks on your part. Let's see, the prices that we listed there, of course, don't include tax. So if we say $119.99, there will be tax included on that.
Yep.
So it'll be a little bit more. And then those prices are only good until the pledge manager for the Kickstarter closes. So once that closes, we'll have our numbers set. After the pledge manager closes, we can't add any more numbers on there. So if we'll, depending on how many pre-orders we get, that may determine how many other copies we decide to get for the store, if we decide to get any. But if we do have copies remaining, we can then offer them on the website as a pre-order, but I don't know if the prices that we've listed there will be the same prices that we'll give you after that point. So again, it's, you know, buying now, getting the game now through us, we're encouraging you to do that by giving you a bit extra of a discount. So that's what we've got for Dark Tower, Return to Dark Tower.
I think another thing that's important for a shop to understand about Kickstarter is, you know, fine, they've raised $2 million. That's a lot of money, right? And mm-hmm. and a lot of copies and all that jazz. But, you know, the fact is there are a lot more board gamers out there than simply who buy on Kickstarter also. You know, like mm-hmm. that's a chunk of the market. But then there's the rest of that, you know, there is a large chunk of the market, too, who, you know, they're still relying on their game shop, or they aren't going to tie that money up a year in advance, or, you know, all kinds of different things, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an interesting system, and you can't get caught up as a fan or as a store in, you know, FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, that I can't get a sale, or I can't buy that thing if I didn't, you know, do the Kickstarter right away.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's that one. We've got a few more things to discuss. I'm also looking up here. So kind of the next big one that's just popped up is the...
Oh, this is awesome.
Star Realms Deluxe Nova Collection. So a lot of people, I'm sure you're familiar with Star Realms. If you're not, it's a fantastic little deck builder. It came out quite a few years ago now. And it was just a little deck box of cards, whereas most other deck builders are, you know, you get a big box, there's a whole bunch to it. This was very, it seemed like it stripped away a lot of all the extra stuff that deck builders had been gathering throughout the years and just got down to the core basics, made it a two-player game, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's just such a great sit down, play it. You can play through around in, you know, like 15, 20 minutes, if even that long. And it's continued to grow from there. So just recently here, they put up a Kickstarter for the Deluxe Nova Collection. There's only 5 days left to go on this particular Kickstarter. We've already we're already in for at least 4 copies. We're waiting to see if we can get more. But basically what this comes with, you know, it's, I think it doesn't have all of the content that's come out for Star Realms across the years, but it's got a lot of it. So you've got like the base game. It's got a few of the, you know, various expansions and things that have come along, as well as like a big old playmat, and it's got little score trackers instead of using cards. And the cards are foil. So they're beautiful, reflective, hologram, foil-looking cards. so it's really a very cool collection. And the entire set is Kickstarter exclusive, meaning if you don't get it through the Kickstarter, it won't be coming to a retail shop, at least outside of the copies that retail shops are getting through the Kickstarter. Like, once those are done and called for or spoken for, then there just aren't anymore. So, like I said, we're getting at least 4 copies in. Rich, I don't know, have you landed on a price yet for those? We haven't quite got it up on the website yet, because we're still discussing, figuring out.
No, I want to talk to you more about that before we announce one. So, but we can get that out this week. That's not,
Yeah, so that'll be going up very soon.
The other, and then you said this, but yeah, it's determining whether we can get more than 4, and if we can only get them in increments of 4, and depending on that, how many we would ultimately get. Because, I mean, it's still going to be a expensive piece, you know. It's 100 at their quote-unquote MSRP, right? And so...
Right.
So it just sort of depends. Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so if you were to kickstart it, it would be $99, and that's just what it is. But we will figure out our price. I think hopefully, possibly, we'll be going a little bit under that.
Well, I think we can do that, yeah.
Give you some kind of a discount.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, so Terraforming Mars Turmoil, I learned a couple of things about this. So the reason people were reaching out to us is, I mean, a couple of fold. There probably weren't that many websites listing copies of it. That's probably one thing, right? Mm-hmm. The other issue is that by the time that came out, the retailer Kickstarter one, they're actually selling for like $60 on eBay. Mm-hmm. And so we had ours at $34.99. And so, like, people are people. Like, anytime they can play an angle and get a deal, that's what they're going to do, you know. And it could even be they were trying to flip it themselves, or they want to play it, but they want to get the best deal. I don't know, right? But, I mean, that's interesting to me. I need to watch that and continue to see in the future what happens when retailer versions of things come out. I'm not saying that means we need to mark them up over their MSRP price. Mm-hmm. However, it could suggest that just charging the MSRP is fine, because if they're regularly worth more than that anyway, then you're already getting a discount. And then we can maximize like our profit in that situation. I don't know. It's something that is so new to me that I don't have any experience with, and could easily just vary from game to game, you know?
So. Right. Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, you never can tell for sure. You can't guarantee that you're getting the games into the hands of people who are wanting to play it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's ultimately what we want to do. And that's why we offer a discount when we're able to, and all of that, is because we want people to get the game and play it. We don't want people to go, oh, I can buy this for $35 and then sell it for $60.
Yeah, and see, that's the trap where, especially, this happens, the primary place this happens is like Magic the Gathering because of the collectible nature of things. So if a Magic product comes out and everybody can get it, the price is depressed. If a Magic product come out and only a few people can get it, then the price goes up over the, well, they don't have MSRP anymore, you know, but the quote-unquote MSRP. And so Paradox with Magic and things like that, we've always honestly sold to that market. I mean, we do that in comics too. You know, if a comic comes out this Wednesday, And it has a $3.99 cover price, and it's selling for $20 on eBay. We're going to mark it up. We have two choices. We can either pull it or we can mark it up, but we are not going to be a charity for flippers. You know, like, that's just not something we're going to do. It sucks because we also don't want to gouge our regulars who are our core customers. We don't like that situation, but, you know, we feel trapped, you know, and so there you go.
Well, I know that was definitely a concern with Gloomhaven back when it came out, and we finally got a couple of copies. We had like two copies on the shelf, and that's all we were going to get for a while. And so the price did go up on those for a short time. Because
the nice thing about Gloomhaven, I'm not sure that, okay, this isn't true, but I'm not sure there's a top price that would not be worth the money on that game, right?
Yeah.
So it's an exception to the rule. I've been playing since June, and I'm not 30% through the number of scenarios that there are. Name a game where that's true. You know, like, it's the game's just insane. And that's playing, for sure, once every 2 weeks for the last 6+ months. So.
Yeah, well, we've been playing it on stream pretty regularly, at least once a month. Or at least trying to average out, at least. Because we had to miss a few sessions. But, yeah, we're nowhere near through all the content. I mean, we've only retired 3 out of our 4 starting characters so far. And so, yeah, phenomenal game. We'll get to that some more in a bit.
Yeah.
But Star Realms, so we will have this available, will be available to pre-order through the website soon. Like I said, it's mostly figuring out how many copies we can get and then coming up with the final price on it. But it's a fantastic set, especially if you haven't gotten into Star Realms, but it seems like it might be interesting to you. This is a great place to get on board with it because you get like everything, or close to everything, in one fell swoop. And there are those beautiful foil cards that aren't available through any other means. Since, you know, it's not a collectible game or anything like that, it's not like there's random foil cards in packs. They're just doing it specifically for this collection. So that's one that's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited that we are bringing that one. And again, really good retailer pledge level on that. That makes sense for retailers to get and sell to their customers. So kudos to those guys. Really happy with that. One thing I forgot to mention about Return to Dark Tower, if we order X number of copies, there's a certain number of copies, they will throw in a demo copy for the store. And that's awesome. And it makes so much sense because if you have a copy of this thing that you can put out for people to play and demo it for them, then of course you're going to, it helps you sell the copies that you're getting for your shelf. So I hope that we hit that threshold because I think that'd be a really cool one to have here in the store and to demo for people and play on stream and all that good stuff. So so get on top of that. but I think that's about all there is for to say about the Star Realms one.
I mean, I know a lot of people in this store bought Star Realms when it came out, and then tailored off over the other versions as they came out. But, there's hardly ever... That game, to me, it was just one of the most efficient... For $14.99, you know, the efficiency of that game and what they did with that and Epic. That company has just done an amazing job, you know. They nailed it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It was a really great breath of fresh air in the deck building genre. Because, of course, there was like Dominion and then Ascension, and like it blew up from there.
Yeah.
And there have been a ton of deck building games. Some are good and some are not. There have been a few standouts like Clank and Mystic Veil, which isn't really deck building, but it's kind of the same thing. You know, different takes on it that really shake things up. And Star Realms did the opposite. It like pulled back and got back to the basics and just said, here's what it is. It's just a deck of cards. You play it and it's fun. And it is, you know? And I respect that design so much.
This has nothing to do with anything, but I've heard nothing but good things about Clank Legacy, so I'm super curious about that thing at some point. So, all right.
Another one to put on the...
Unfortunately, most of my gaming time is going to remain in Gloomhaven, so which is great, except that it just, you know, I won't get a chance to try much else, probably in most of 2020. So.
Yeah, especially if they're legacy games, it makes it tough because you can't just jump in and try it as easily.
Yeah,
full experience. Anyway, we have a few more things to share with you guys today. If you are interested in any of these... Kickstarters we're talking about, feel free to message us here even while we're talking, and we can make sure to get the details worked out with you. But we do have a couple of Kickstarters that we have pledged, and I just wanted to give a couple updates on those in case anybody is curious. There is a Manhattan Project Energy Empire expansion, Cold War, and that got delayed for I mean, the main reason is one of the people involved passed away. And so there's been a lot of figuring out their estate and how everything works, passing things around. So it's still all happening. They're sending out regular updates to let us know that things are progressing. But that one will take a bit longer to get to us. So if you're interested, I think we still have the pre-order up on the website. I think we have 5 copies that have not been spoken for. If you want to go ahead and pre-order that, it's coming. It just might take a little while longer. But there's that. There's also Blood on the Clock Tower, which I'm very excited to get and play. Blood on the Clock Tower is a game. It's a hidden role game, not unlike Werewolf. Something along those lines, but it really ups the ante. So it requires a game master. They have the game box, which is like a big book. They call it the grimoire. And essentially it allows them to put tokens and things in there for each of the players. Players can poison other players depending on their role, or they can charm them and do stuff. So you get a really big narrative that will play out over the course of a game. So they just recently put out an update and said that, unfortunately, production on that has been pushed back to August of this year. They are quite confident, though, that that's when it will be coming out. So if you have ordered that through us, I think we don't currently have any copies. We pulled the pre-order. There may have been one copy that we were waiting for someone to discuss with us. So. I don't know that we have any left to offer anybody at this point, but if you are one of the people who has pre-ordered it through us, it is coming probably August of this year. And that's another one that, very cool, they put in a demo copy for stores. So we will have a copy in store that we can use to run events and that people can potentially try on a game night or something. So looking forward to that one quite a bit. And then also we wanted to bring to everyone's attention, this isn't a Kickstarter, it's just a pre-order, King of Tokyo Dark Edition is now available as a pre-order on our store. We're definitely getting copies, we've already had a few pre-orders, but the more that people pre-order, if you are interested in it and are planning to get it, if you do a pre-order, that helps us get our numbers right. Instead of, hey, we got... 3 copies for the store, they get snatched up, and now you have to wait until we can order more.
Well, my understanding is it is a limited run in some way. I don't know that means it's going to be hard to get, but it may just mean they're not going to keep it in print. I'm not really sure. When I was looking at Google earlier, too, to get some more details to discuss on here, I just had trouble getting a lot of information about the game exactly. So.
Yeah, I've been trying to look it up a little bit here as well, and essentially it's King of Tokyo, but it's got kind of a darker face to it. Mm-hmm. So instead of the bright and cartoony look of the current game, it's got the artwork's a bit darker. It's a bit more serious looking, although I don't know that the game itself is... how much darker the game is.
Right. And there's a new mechanic that's being introduced to the game.
Yep, and I believe updated, all the components are nicely updated, so the energy tokens, instead of being little green cubes, they're little lightning bolts, and I think the dice are special in some way. I can't remember exactly, because the other ones, they were engraved, I think that's the correct term for what they did with those. But there, I mean, there should be some, you know, the dice, the card quality, all the component quality is going to be very good. So that's available on our website as a pre-order. I think it's $39.99.
I believe that's right. It's $49.99 retail, and I think we got it at $39.
Yeah, so that's for pre-orders there. So if you're interested in that, definitely get on top of that, because that's... looks fairly interesting.
Yeah, and then I think we also put up the Warlock tiles as a pre-order.
Oh, yes.
You know, this might have a pretty limited audience, but they are pretty cool. I mean, I mean, they kind of call it like a terrain system for beginners, you know. And it does look really cool. All the components are double-sided so that they're, you know, brick or wood, depending on which side you look at. And it allows you to build 3D terrain without a lot of the problems that you run into with a lot of terrain. It doesn't block, you know, if your figure needs to be in the corner, you know, or things like that. It just, the system, the tiles click together and allow you to build it in a 3D way, and it does look really cool. So,
yeah, and I believe there are some doors and things like that, so that it actually does stand up. You know, you can get elements that stand up. So for your role-playing games and other things of that nature.
Yeah, it's a WizKids piece, so I would imagine that it's designed to fit, you know, their size of miniatures, you know, with their bases that they use for stuff. So, we got asked about it a couple of times, so we looked it up and just threw up a pre-order Kickstarter. So, and you know what I do, I'm going to be very honest, because I've been being honest with people. I've been using miniatures market pricing when I look at this stuff. And, you know, I think they have a standard, it's either 15 or 20% off is sort of their base price. So sometimes better, sometimes worse. But so, you know, I'm not going to compete with the lowest selling guy on Amazon or things like that. But Miniatures Market is a very much a staple buy from place in the industry. So I think it's more than fair to use them as a benchmark for pricing. So, and then you don't have to wait, you don't have to either pay shipping or wait for the shipping or whatever. It'll be here at release and there you go.
So. Yeah. And really, if the price is different, it's not going to be terribly significant. You know, you may be able to find it someplace for a couple bucks cheaper, but, you know, I guess it's, you know, up to each individual person what their threshold is for buying it, the convenience of buying it themselves in store here and grabbing it, or getting it through the internet. But yes, that's those are up. There's the beginner set and the advanced beginner set. I believe there are more sets, but we wanted to put those up first and see how they did. If there's a huge call for it, maybe we'll look into getting some more of them. But right now, that's available on the website as well. So we've got those, and then we've been going for a good 40 minutes already.
We have. We got one last one. Yeah. Fortunately, we don't even have a lot of information about it, I guess, so we can keep it simple.
Yeah, I mean, so. It'll basically be keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering the date correctly, I should be.
March 24th.
March 24th.
Yeah, I think so.
Frosthaven will be coming to Kickstarter, and that is a sequel to Gloomhaven. So again, not sure about all of the details just yet, if it's going to be completely standalone. I believe it's supposed to be. It's going to be another big box like Gloomhaven. So there was a Forgotten Circles expansion that came out recently. There is another expansion of that nature called Jaws of the Lion that will be coming out. And when we get more information, we'll do pre-orders for that, of course, as well. Because that's just going to be another thing where you get so many new scenarios and a few new classes. But Frosthaven is going to be another big box. It's going to have a whole bunch of new monsters in it, a whole bunch of new classes, a whole new storyline to follow. We're pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, my impression is it's going to be standalone, but I'm wondering, you know, is there, because if you play Gloomhaven, one thing that happens in the stories, you keep going back to the library in Gloomhaven and getting more pieces of the lore, you know, the history of the world and all that sort of stuff. And sort of, I'm wondering, if the ending of Gloomhaven, because I haven't gotten there yet, you know, somehow sets up Frosthaven, or if Frosthaven is set, you know, earlier in the lore or later in the lore, or, you know, I just have no idea.
From what I understand, it's so Frosthaven itself is an outpost in, of course, an icier land. But I don't know anything about the story or anything, how it all lines up. If it's, I think it's all same timeline, so it's not like a precursor to it, or, you know, one leads into the other necessarily.
Sure.
My impression is that it's you know, it's just its own thing over here. So, but we'll see. We'll get more information when that comes out. What we do know, because I asked, there will be a retailer pledge level, so we absolutely will be kickstarting that. We'll be pledging as a store. We'll be getting copies and taking our pre-orders. So.
And we'll try to act as fast as possible on that one. You know, when it goes up, we'll be ready on the 24th when it goes up. I mean, we can have everything ready, but the pricing, just to, you know, so we can try to get it live as fast as possible. So,
yeah. So if you're fans of Gloomhaven and looking for more content, check that out for sure. If you missed out on Gloomhaven and you kind of been deciding whether or not to get into it, here's another good jumping in point. Of course, it will take a while for it to come out. Obviously, Kickstarter happens, and then, you know, a year or so later is when the game actually releases. But
I'll be really interested to see what happens mechanically. What the, you know, what are they cleaning things up? Are they adding new abilities? I mean, we'll probably get new characters, new powers, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would assume the core is still going to be the same. The way the characters work with cards and the draw and the hit deck and like the basic elements like that. But, you know, I'm interested to see what they've learned with having the game in the wild for several years.
Yeah, so, if it's going to be kind of a Gloomhaven 2.0 or if it's just going to be Gloomhaven 1.3. You know, something like that.
Yeah, and that really, that will affect people's decisions. Because if it's, because if it's just Gloomhaven 1.3, even though it has new stories, it might be hard for people to want to spend $150 on it. You know? So I'm, that's why I'm really intrigued by what it is, so.
Yeah.
I mean, buying like Forgotten Circles for $30 or $40, that makes sense. You know, you're getting more content for what you already play. But basically rebuying a new core game, we've seen that over and over again over the years. And, you know, it doesn't work that well comparatively.
So. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. It will be very interesting to see. So stay tuned for that. Like Rich said, we'll have all the details up for you guys as soon as we have them.
And the deets.
We'll get you the deets. Yeah, and I think that's about all we have to really cover and talk about in terms of the Kickstarters we're looking at. For you folks watching, if you are aware of any good Kickstarters coming, let us know. Because there are so many things happening that it's hard to stay on top of all. Like, obviously, Frosthaven, you know, Gloomhaven is a big deal. It's hard to miss that they're coming out with another one of those. That was easy. But there are a lot of interesting ones. You know, Blood on the Clock Tower, I knew nothing about that until some reviewers, Shut Up and Sit Down, did a little review on it. And then I think, was it, someone asked a mutual friend if we knew about it. And so it kind of worked its way through the pipeline to me that way. And it's like, oh yeah, I just heard about this. And so we went ahead and kickstarted that because the retailer pledge level was so good and the game was getting such good hype.
That's kind of how even like King of Tokyo Dark Edition, it's not a Kickstarter, but you know, Aaron Sparks reached out and said, hey, I want to buy this. Are you going to be carrying it? And I said, you know, that looks cool. We'll throw it up, you know? And so like, yeah, if you let us know about things, that helps. So.
Yeah, it really does. Because we want to carry the products that people are going to actually purchase.
Yeah, I mean, from 2010 to 2015, my shop, our shop, was pretty much the place to buy board games in the area and to go to see what was the hottest game and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, the game market has flipped. It's not like that anymore through no fault of our own. And we know that people, regardless of whether we have it or not, you still might Kickstarter it and get the things you can get through the people. The biggest thing I would like that I'm trying to do is make sure when we can, we're offering you the opportunity to choose us. We're not saying, you know, you have to only choose us or else we're mad at you. You know, we just want to put it out there. If it's not out there, you can't choose us. But if we do get it out there, yeah, I mean, it would be nice if we could get that local support and try to keep, you know, that business as much as we can. You know, again, all you have to do is look at what's going on with Fantasy Flight to understand the situation in the marketplace. I mean, if it's going to affect a Fantasy Flight, it's going to affect everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. Or take the Fargo-Moorhead, North Dakota area, you know. If Broken Century closes in Grand Forks and Dragon's Hoard closed in March, I mean, that's two game stores that we've lost. So a lot of us, we sit at home, or, you know, it's Thanksgiving dinner, and we're talking with that uncle we haven't seen for a year. And so we come around to that conversation about Amazon, and then we sort of anecdotally talk about its effect on retail, and that's the end of it. And we go back to our turkey leg. But, you know, when you're, you know, in the business, it's not anecdotal. You know, it's a real thing. So, you know, Paradox, I think, is trying to find some really good ways to try to. I'm not a shop local fan. I'm not a fan of that argument, is what I mean. You know, but I think with what we're going to be doing this year with charity, and just stuff like this, we're just giving you that opportunity. Yeah, I mean, I hope those are things that people find valuable enough to take advantage of. So,
absolutely, and we are relying on our community to help make us aware of some of those things that slip through the cracks.
Help us help you.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, I think that pretty well covers what we had today. We've got to get going because, from what I understand, a news crew may be showing up any moment to talk about the event happening in the store right now. So
interviews for dogs.
Yes. So thank you guys so much.
See what they have to say. So, dog, these people here are doing this charity event for you. What do you think about that?
Orf. What up, dog?
Yeah.
So thank you guys for tuning in, whether you caught us live or if you're listening to this. We do release episodes every Monday on the podcast. Here's a little insider tip. I actually post them Sunday, but I never know for sure if I'll get them up in the morning or in the evening, so we just say Monday for sure. So tune in, check out the DocsCast. We hope that you enjoy this. We hope that you are interested and will partake in some of these cool opportunities to get unique and interesting games through us. And let's see, what else? You can find us, ParadoxCNC.com is the website. You can find us on Facebook. We're at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram. We, of course, would love it if you'd stop down at 26 Roberts Street in Fargo, North Dakota, and chat with the friendly staff here about various things. And, we've got a few. Matt Jensen is saying he's in a noisy place, otherwise he'd contribute to the conversation. Matt, we're sorry that you're in a noisy place. We appreciate you stopping in. And I know
maybe he's in the D&D for dogs room, right?
I was about to say, it's noisy out there. And then Jeremiah Solberg is asking if we had any more of the Paradox six-sided dice. And I believe you do still have
some. I think so. I think they're on the wall there.
Yeah, I think we do still have some. So drop down and get some Paradox dice with the Paradox logo.
Dice, baby.
On the... is it on the six side or the one side? Yours is on the six, right?
We put it on the six because you want to roll. Like
that's the best side to get,
right? I mean, it makes more sense on the one in a lot of ways, but then it's like the disappointing number to roll. Yeah. So, you know,
I think that's what we did with our Kamikaze Snowman dice because that just fits better.
Yeah, I mean, I get replacing the one pip that is the one, right?
Right.
But like then it's like, oh, I roll the paradox. That sucks. You know? So, we should go screw all next year. We should put it on like the four.
Just like, right, it's just one of the most random sides.
Yeah.
Or two of the sides and not tell. It's like, did you get a two or a four? You'll never know.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, folks. That's all we've got for today. We'll probably be back in a few weeks to do one of our big podcasting sessions.
We should. If we're going to do that, Yep.
We'll figure it all out.
Yep.
But stay tuned. Check out the website. Check out the Kickstarters. And, of course, next Saturday, if you're listening to this before February 1st, that is our game day at Paradox here, so we've got some game demos set up. You can sign up for those on the website. We're also, I've got some board game relay races set out or put on the website there as well for people to sign up. Hopefully we'll get enough interest to actually get those going. But if nothing else, stop in for game day, play some games, have fun, and we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time.